All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. I'm talking to you from the borough of Queens in New York City. This is the 10th day of May, 2022. I want to thank all of you for listening to the show, making it one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel, and I want to invite you to continue to send along whatever comments you have about this show to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions, the number four, taylor@gmail.com. We do need and want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. Today's sponsors, Irving Resources, Novo Resources, El Oro Resources, Coro Asset Corp, Timberline Resources, Lion One Metals, SK Mining, and Reyna Gold Corp. I've titled today's show, Keynesian Value Destruction. Alistair MacLeod, Dr. Quentin Henning, and Michael Oliver return as this week's guests. About the time President Nixon detached gold from the international monetary system back in August 1971, he declared that we are all Keynesians now. The acceptance of the Keynesian economic religion by President Nixon, subsequent American presidents, and 99% of the American economic intelligentsia guaranteed that in time the U.S. financial system would self-destruct, because in reality, Keynesian economics is an anti-capitalist, anti-free market economic system. Some have dubbed it communist light. The belief that Lord Keynes operated under was that those who save to build capital and use it to get rich are acting immorally. In his eyes, it is immoral to save your money and use it to buy real estate, for example, that you use then to build wealth at the expense of renters. Keynes didn't see a need for the supply side of the economy. He emphasized the demand side of the economic equation, with government providing demand by way of deficit spending. And boy, oh boy, did the Western world zealously follow the Keynesian religion. So we Americans have consumed far more than we have produced for decades on end, and that may be about to come to an end. Meantime, since Nixon removed the international gold standard, America has hollowed out its manufacturing base and run massive chronic trade deficits, owing massive amounts of money to foreign nations, even as Americans themselves have built up domestic debts to levels that assure a decreased living standard for most Americans for decades to come. As retired Federal Reserve economist Lacey Hunt pointed out recently, when nations have a debt-to-GDP ratio of 90%, it drastically slows down growth. America's current debt-to-GDP is around 130%. Just as families can't live beyond their means for long, the same ultimately holds true for nations as well, even powerful ones like the United States. So we want to address some questions today, such as, will the Keynesians at some point in the future learn their lessons, learn the ways of their lessons, learn that they've really made some bad mistakes? What events might need to take place to wake the policymakers up to their false anti-free market religion? Meantime, how should we all prepare as the air from this massive printing press bubble is escaping both in the debt and equity markets? Those and many more questions will be asked of Alistair MacLeod, who will join me in the second half of today's show. With equity markets melting down and with many people believing this is only the beginning of a serious bear market, few investors may be interested right now in investing in gold and silver exploration stories. But if this financial market meltdown is anything like prior ones, gold and silver related investments are likely to be the first out of the gate star performers once the Fed starts running the printing presses full blast once again. Dismal markets like this one offer the best time to educate yourself about fundamental values of companies that, when markets stop declining, you're ready to pick up quality stocks at bargain basement prices. One such opportunity, in my view, is El Oro Resources that appears to be in the process of outlining a multi-billion ounce silver equivalent deposit in Bolivia. In a few minutes, Dr. Quentin Henning will join me to update us on El Oro, on that company's Isca project in Bolivia. But right now, I'm happy to tell you that Michael Oliver is with me once again to help us make some sense out of these really tumultuous markets. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah, it's a crazy time. Markets are really in turmoil, it would seem. I just wonder if you can, do you have a sense of how far these equity markets might melt down, and to what extent do you think the Treasury markets will continue to be in sync with the equity markets?
Well, it's an interesting year so far. Again, put yourself in an investor's position, a guy who buys well at low risk, high reward levels, proper entry levels on any given market. But look at what's happened, and you look at your markets every year, let's say, not every week. But anyway, as of the end of last year to date, the S&P is now down 16%. Okay, mm-hmm. That's not too good. NASDAQ 100, the leader index, is down 24%. Now, not to toot our horn here, but MSA called those tops shortly after the highs. Not few percentage off the highs. So we're quite bearish long term, not just a downside trade. But then there's other markets that are also critical, especially to the Fed. It's muni bond market. Right now, the muni bond market is at a level that if it closes the month here, it will close below all monthly closes going back to 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow.
That's a popular investment medium, okay?
Yeah.
High yield corporate debt market, pardon me, is if it closes the month where it is now, it'll close below all monthly closes since 2009.
Wow.
There's only the bear lows of 2009 were lower than where it is now. So high-yield corporate debt is imploding. Now, that's just so far, 4 to 5 months into the year, 4.5 months into the year. Now, also the TLT, which is the ETF of long-term government bonds, net on the year is now 21%.
Wow.
Okay, so these are all major portfolio asset categories. They're imploding. The Fed is not causing a collapse in commodities. Commodities are up 20% on the year right now so far. And even gold, which is now being dragged down, admittedly, by the collapsing stock market, is only barely up on the year, 0.8%, in fact. It's still up on the year, though. Okay, so relatively speaking, it's hanging in there. The question we have at MSA is, are we going to replicate one of the two isolated events of, as far as I'm concerned, the last century, where gold has collapsed briefly with a sharp drop in the stock market? Now, these two instances in everybody's mind, of course, March of 2020, everybody remembers that. It was just yesterday, okay? We had a collapse into late February, early March of 2020, with the S&P drop 35% in a matter of about 3 or 4 weeks. Gold finally, in the latter part of that break, joined in with a sharp drop, much less than that. It was about, about 15%. But still, it had a collapse.
Mm-hmm.
When we hit that low in March of 2020, gold was back to its high within 7 trading days. It went from 1,700 to 1,450, and within 7 trading days was back at 1,700. It took the S&P 5 months to grind its way out of the March low to re-achieve the highs it had just before that collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Why did gold explode when the S&P was still in the hole in that instance? Well, it knew what was coming. I put quotes around knew. It knew. What did it know? It knew that the central bank was going to go ape because of what had happened to the equity markets and other markets that the Fed deems important. Municipal bonds, high-yield corporate debt, for example. So it did go berserk. The Fed, you know, its balance sheet exploded. The money supply exploded like we've never seen. And sure enough, the S&P gained from that, but so did gold. Gold went from, you know, 1450 low in March of 2020 to over 2000 by August of 2020. How come gold knew that? Because you know, it is an anticipator of central bank lunacy. Okay, let's go to the other instance. 2008 bear market. We peaked in 2007 on the S&P. 2008, by October of 2008, the S&P finally had a collapse leg. It didn't just go down incrementally. It dropped 35% in a matter of several weeks. At that point, gold was at 950 bucks, excuse me, 925, and it suddenly said, I'm going to join in. It dropped to 681 in a matter of several weeks, joining the stock market late, and then turned around and made new highs by February of the next year. Meanwhile, the S&P was continuing down until March of the next year. How come gold turned up from that sharp vortex low and went back to its highs very rapidly? What was its encouragement? It knew what the Fed was going to do. And sure enough, after that low in the stock market, the 2008-09 low, the Fed embarked on its QE programs and all that nice stuff they conjured up. Gold knew it was coming. Okay, here we have now a new situation, and I'm not even sure we're going to have a sharp vortex-type situation, a low in gold and a sharp break in the stock market. Stock market might just layer its way down. But right now there's a fear out there, oh, we're going to crash. Okay. Well, we're not sure of that because the short-term factors on gold right now don't quite accommodate that notion. Now, there's some levels below in gold that if we hit them, we'll be open to that possibility that we could get another vortex-type drop in gold and the stock market, et cetera. We're not there yet. You have to go down to about 1820 before we start to think that's viable. Right now we're 1840-plus. Those asset categories I listed before, the muni bonds, the high-yield corporate debt, the S&P, the NASDAQ, are down such huge percentages because of the Fed policy. And at some point, the Feds are going to realize, like the Bank of Japan, which has not shifted out of its highly liquid policy, and the ECB is sort of in a moderate stance compared to Bank of Japan and the Fed. They're sort of in between. But the Fed's gone berserk on this so-called tightening. But when these assets continue to implode and cause disorder, so to speak, in the minds of investors and economists and the public at some point, they're going to have to respond the other way. They're going to have to do a knee-jerk reverse back to the other policy. They have no choice. They can't let the muni bond market collapse. They can't yield high-yield corporate debt, and they can't let the S&P collapse. And yet we have the biggest stock market bubble in the American history. It is the oldest bull market, more than a dozen years. It's vertical. Its percentage gain was off the page. And when did it begin? When the Fed went crazy in 2008-09, and it didn't quit. So the Feds are going to have to do it again, and gold knows at some point in the stock market decline and these other asset categories, the Fed is going to have to do a whiplash turn, and they'll lose all credibility when they do it, but they have to do it. They have no choice. Otherwise, these asset categories are going to implode on them. And gold knows that. So the question is, do we get a vortex sell-off in gold? Or do we not? And we're not sure about that right now on a short-term basis. We're frankly not sure we're even going to get one. But if we do, it's a buying opportunity just like those other two were.
Well, we're certainly seeing the results of the Bank of Japan. Their currency is really taking it on the chin. It's really going down very strongly against the dollar. I'm wondering, Michael, there was a question from a listener, a frequent listener named George. He wants to know, he says, most moves in gold these days are direct relations to the dollar, to the U.S. dollar going up or down. Some dollar forecasts I have seen see the dollar index up at 120 in 2 years. So George wants to know, what are your thoughts, Michael, on where the dollar is headed, and do you expect gold to rally with an increase in the dollar if that comes to pass?
Okay. Long term, the correlation between gold and the dollar index is very pathetic. If you go back to 2015, the dollar was in a major bull market then. In fact, we got bullish at 78 on the dollar index, expected it to go to 100. In fact, it ultimately went to 103. But by December of 2015, it was trading at 98.65. Mm-hmm. You could draw a line sideways on the dollar index. And by the way, that index is really not a good index. It's 70% of it is two currencies, mostly the euro.
You're right.
And to some extent, the yen. So all the other currencies in the world don't matter. It's really a euro ETF. Yeah, I don't know why they call it an index when one constitutes 57% of the index is euro. Okay, so really what you ought to be watching is just the euro instead of interpreting it as the broad dollar. But the dollar index is now 103.90. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's let's call it 4% higher than it was at the close of 2015. Mm-hmm. Gold traded double the price it was at the close of 2015.
Right.
2000 is like double where it was then. Okay, right now we're substantially above the 2015 low. And yet the dollar really hasn't gone anywhere but single-digit percentages. Mm-hmm. So, and as far as the sustained upside in the dollar, I don't think so. It's probably a place to be looking to go short now. But again, it's a function of the euro. So just look at the euro. Don't look at the dollar index as some kind of broad notion.
Yeah. Well, certainly if the Fed's going to start printing aggressively, I mean, we've been tight compared to the euro and the yen. So that explains that that run. But if once gold starts to run, I guess that would be perhaps an indication that the Fed is going to start to loosen things up, and then that might have some implications for other markets besides gold and silver.
Further break into these other markets, further decline there, whether it's a crash effect or just simply another, let's say, ratcheting down of 10 more percent in the S&P, you're going to have a lot of gritting teeth in the Fed meetings about, oh, golly, do we really? Now, notice Powell's statement at the March meeting. Mm-hmm. The early May meeting. He said repeatedly, in little quotes, we're data sensitive.
Yeah.
We're still going to be data sensitive.
Right.
I think he's probably cheering for some bad numbers so he can pull back on that tightening policy.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see what happens. Inflation numbers coming out tomorrow, I think. So we're going to have to leave it go at that, Michael. We're past time.
You,
but it's always great. Your insights are so welcome and so much sought after. We thank you for sharing them with us.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, folks, we're going to break now. Don't go away. Quentin Henning will be with us to talk about LRO Resources, a company that's on the way to, it seems, building up and establishing a multi-billion ounce silver equivalent deposit. So don't go away. Quentin Henning will be right back.
Lion Wine Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barakoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQX, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals, rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.